The scripture passage this morning is taken from Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there we hung up our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs, and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall, how they said, tear it down, down to its foundations. O daughter Babylon, you devastator, happy shall they be who pay you back what you have done to us. Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock.
Today we start a new series, which we're calling Psalms for the Seasons of Life. And we recognize here in Toronto we have four distinct different seasons, normally. This is winter. We don't have our snow that we had last winter. But it will come. It will come. But generally we have four distinct seasons. As we know, winter, spring, summer, fall, they're all quite different. And that becomes a metaphor, if you like, for the spiritual life, that we have different seasons that we experience, and this is reflected in the Psalms. There are times of consolation when we feel spiritually uplifted, and there are times of desolation when we feel adrift, and all of these stages in between. So the Psalms represent those realities. The Psalms are the hymns of the Old Testament, the hymn book, and it reflects the whole season. So today we're going to start with the winter season. We can imagine colder than it is, but it is still winter. And the winter season, I would suggest, is actually shaped spiritually with the theme of absence. So Martin Marty, a great scholar from the University of Chicago, believer, writes, "Winter is a season of the heart as much as it is a season in the weather." John Crow Ransom connected the two kinds of winter, two evils monstrous, either one apart possessed me, and we were long and loath at going, a cry of absence. Absence in the heart, and in the wood the furious winter blowing. So, theologically, we know that we are never absent from God. That's why we read the unit, Psalm 139, wherever we flee, God is present. Wouldn't matter where we are. You could be on Mars, and you do not flee the presence of God. But we can feel like we are absent from God. We know really we are not, but many of the Psalms cry out, "Where are you, God?" There is a feeling, an emotional absence from God. We do not feel His presence. And I'm going to suggest that in many of the Psalms of Lament, which this Psalm 137 is one of those Psalms. So just a few words of background. This is a very interesting Psalm because it's very specific. We know exactly the time that the writer is speaking about. He's speaking about when Jerusalem was razed, was destroyed, 587 BC, by the Babylonians. We know this for a fact, biblically and also archaeologically. There are many artifacts which record that event. The Babylonians come in, destroy and raze the city. Many people are destroyed, many people are killed, including, note the last verse of this psalm, where little ones are dashed against the rocks. The Babylonians did that. Many oppressors in the history of time have done that. This is one of the special techniques by the Nazis during the Holocaust. They would take the Jewish babies and in front of their parents, dash them against the walls, kill them before they killed the parents ultimately. So we know this kind of terror has happened, and it happened in Babylon and in Jerusalem. Many are killed, but then ultimately many are taken away into exile. They are relocated. It was part of the way of the expansion of the empire to bring peoples under their umbrella. They would take them away. They'd be relocated, get used to the new culture. So all of that was going on, yet there is this desire for homecoming, as we see. Babylon was the world power. It's like the United States at its greatest. There is just no power that can compete with this. That was Babylon. So you'll note that there is the repetition of the word there. The people are there. They are there. They are there. They don't even use the word. They don't even name the country. They are just simply there. Everybody understands. And it's a reminder, what the text is saying, is that one place is not the same as another. That when you come from one place, when my family left Ireland, after generations of being in Ireland, centuries of being in Ireland, when you leave there and you come here, it is not the same place. You can come desiring to come. It's your new land and people welcome you, but it is not the same. And the Babylonians were arguing, it's all the same. You can leave the hills of Judea, come to the river plains of the Euphrates. One place is the same as another. You'll be fine here. This is the argument to help them, try to console them. But the Jewish people knew that that was not true. That the river plains of the Euphrates and the waters of Babylon are not the same as the hills of Judea. My dad always longed for Ireland. As much as he chose to come here, as much as he loved Canada, he was never the same. Many of our friends are folk from Jamaica here. I'm sure you feel the same. Canada's great, but it ain't Jamaica, man. Hey? Sure, that's the reality. And the Jewish community knew that. And so hence this psalm has a certain melancholy because they are away and they feel absence. So we want to kind of let that absence resonate a little bit as we go. It's our faith in a concrete place in the here and now. And so our here and now is right here in Weston. Whatever your background. This is one of the challenges, by the way, for the many refugees who are coming into our land right now. It is beautiful they are coming. We want to welcome them. But this is an ongoing challenge, a life challenge that they will have of settling here and feeling this is home. Canada is not Syria, man. It is not the Mediterranean. It is a different world. The challenges they have and the challenges that many of us and you have experienced. So the psalm is shaped with this reality of absence and begins with the statement of abandonment. By the rivers of Babylon. Babylon was a flat river plain, many waters, many tributaries, many canals, man-made canals. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there, note, we wept. When we remembered Zion. On the willows there, we hung up our harps. For there, our captors asked for songs. And our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And so in this very specific song, an eyewitness account, the singers, the artists, the musicians, remember, and we'll talk more about the power of remembering. And one of the techniques of the oppressors was to mock their gods. And so while they're marching on the way to Babylon, they would say, hey, sing us the songs, note of Zion. Zion was the word for Jerusalem. That was this holy place where the temple was. Sing us those songs. Entertain us with your songs. And it's interesting, the artists, musicians, refuse to sing the songs. And they hang their songs or their harps and lyres on the trees as a statement of protest. They will not do this. We won't sing these songs for entertainment, because these are holy songs. Songs for God. They are longing. You hear the longing in their voices. They want to be back home. They are absent. And in that culture, the Jewish community, where the temple was where the presence of God was felt in the most mighty way in their land. They are now far from that and will be there for two generations. So there's this longing, this cry. And my point here as we begin is that in the winter season of faith, we can experience this absence. And when we experience that absence, it is not because you are doing something wrong. It is not because somehow spiritually you have failed. It is part of the reality of the spiritual life that at times we will feel this absence. It is the way it is. It is like any other relationship. We have a relationship with God, right? God is a person. We are persons. We are in a living relationship with a person, God. And in any relationship, there are times of absence. I've been going to Bolivia for 10 years. I'm away in the summertime. That is a time of absence for the family. I do study with a Bolivian, Shara, who is here in Canada for now. And she has a very close relationship with her family. And when she wants to remember them, she gets pictures of her family and of her father, and she looks at the pictures, and it helps remember, because she is absent from them. So in any relationship, there are going to be times when we feel absent, when God feels absent from us, even though really he is not. But we feel it. And in the winter season, that may be your experience this morning for some reason. I don't know. You may be feeling that God, where are you, man? Going into this new year, and I want to know more of your presence, this times of consolation where God consoles us. But there are times when we feel he is absent. And note, it happens on the other side too. When God is calling out to us and we are absent. In fact, this happens more than the other. We are distracted. We are engaged in our mind, in our own efforts, whatever they might be, and we are not present for God, and God is saying, like Adam and Eve in the garden, Adam and Eve, where are you? And it's interesting, at different points, Isaiah the prophet says, I was ready to be sought out by those who did not ask, to be found by those who did not seek me. Note, I said, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. And I held out my hands all day long to rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices. It's God saying, here I am. So it's not just a story of Adam and Eve. Many times God is crying out for us and saying, Alan, where are you, man? And I'm out doing my own thing. And we are doing our own thing. And so this absence is partly on our side. Partly God withdraws for his own purposes in terms of consolation. Maybe our reality right now. That's where the psalm begins. Very specific psalm, 587 BC. The psalmist's response, how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I have not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Note the words there. This is the artist, the singer saying, let my guitar hand wither. Let my hands wither so I can't play my instrument. Let my mouth be cleaved so I cannot speak. It's a powerful statement. So it's a statement, a resolve saying, God, help me to keep trusting you even in this time of human overcast, even in this time of oppression. And if I give up, curse me, he says. May this bad thing happen to me. This is he's calling on himself. if I don't remember? So it's a powerful statement of resolve, even in the midst of being absent. So there's an emphasis on remembering. We note that in the text in verse 1, it looks back to the past. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept. When we remembered Zion, look to the past. When we remembered. And then in verse 6, we see now here in the present, the psalmist is saying, even where I'm here in this place of exile, in this time of absence, verse 6, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. So there's a repetition of remembering. There's a remembering of the past, and there's a remembering here in the now. And that is part of our response, I would suggest, when we are in times of winter, spiritually. When we are in that season, what do we do? First of all, we're invited to remember. Remember the past. Remember those funding moments when I was strong with God. Remember those times, maybe when I was baptized, maybe when you were confirmed, maybe when you felt mountaintop of experience, I really felt God as part of my reality. You remember that. You remember again. You reclaim that. So that's one thing we can do spiritually. We can choose to remember again. I may be feeling pretty lethargic right now, but man, I remember those times when I felt enthusiastic for God. So you may have those times when we're invited to remember again. Look to the past, but also to remember again now. So I like this statement by Marty again where he says, can I hitchhike a ride on the spiritual experience of another? Which he means by that, I am not feeling really strong right now, but can I draw close to someone else who is, and I can hold on to their coattails through this time of weakness to get me through. Hitchhiking a ride on someone else. Bonhoeffer wrote in his wonderful book on community, he says, when the Christ in me is weak, is there the Christ who is strong in someone else I can hold on? That's why we need to be in community. The Christ in me is weak, the Christ in you is strong, I need to hold on to the Christ in you. That was his kind of language. And vice versa. So I remember the past and I remember again now as I hang on to others. Well, how do we do that? Well, partly as we read the scriptures, as we hold on to the experiences of others, like this Psalm 137 happened 2,600 years ago, but I can hold on to their experience to help me now. Certainly as we enter the faith community. So important to be part of a faith community, engaged, because we do go through these times of desolation. We do go through the winter seasons. So we need to be helped and strengthened by others. Isn't that true? We need each other. When we feel isolated, you are setting yourself up as a target. When you isolate yourself from the community, you are more a target for the evil one, because you are on your own. Whenever you're hearing that kind of language in your mind, I'm telling you, that's coming from another place. You don't want to go there. You want to hang in, even though you don't feel like hanging in. All these goofy Christians around me, I don't like them at all. You're feeling that way. Don't listen to that voice. Hang in, because we need each other. So there's this remembering. Remember the past. Remember now. Help me, Lord, to hang on to whoever those people are that will help me and help you. Then we come to this piece at the end. It's strong. Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites. The Edomites were their neighbors that go back to the time of Esau. They're part of the family, really. But they have moved away. They've developed now into their own nation, the Edomites. And the Edomites were not friendly to Israel. And when Babylon came in and swept down on Israel, they're saying, yeah, go for it. Destroy that temple. We don't like that temple either. And they actually came along and helped the Babylonians as they could. So the singer here is saying, remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem's fall, how they said, tear it down to the foundations, O daughter Babylon, you devastator. And then it goes on with this double beatitude. Happy shall they be who pay you back what you have done to us. Note, you have done this to us. What? Happy shall they be who take your little ones and dash them against the rock. That's what they did to us. And so we have this very honest, powerful, shocking statement, if you like, that is saying, remember, Lord, and come down in judgment on those who have done that to us. There's no action here. The Israelites, the Jewish people, don't go out and do these things, but they're crying out for God, for justice on this oppressing nation and on the Edomites, remember. So we have this remember, third time. And this time it's remembering looking forward. It is remembering to the future. It is saying, Lord, we still have a hope and a vision in you in the midst of all these things. But for them, it took place in someday justice will come about. And we have these double beatitudes, happy, blessed be. That's the language. So it's very honest. And the scriptures are very honest. When you read that, aren't you shocked a little bit when you read that? You're thinking like, how did that get in? How did that miss the censor somewhere? Somebody should have screened those verses and pulled them out. So that's too, no, that won't fly. You know, for modern listeners, that's not going to go over very well. Don't do that. But they leave them in. And they're leaving them in because it's an honest reality. This is how the people were feeling in the then and the now, the here and the now of their reality. Today, in the New Testament, we seek reconciliation. We don't seek vengeance. Jesus tells us to pray for our enemy. It's a different reality. But in the Old Testament, they were looking for God to work and to bring about judgment. Romans 2:5 tells us that there ultimately will be a day of justice. That we can count on God. He will make things right. You can read that. We don't have to act. God will act in his own wisdom. Great are you, Lord, we sang. That's the idea. So two symbols here. The symbol of Babylon, a civilization that is apart from God, a worldview that is apart from God, and Jerusalem is a worldview that is open to God and to his work. That is what this psalm is presenting. And all of it has to do about remembering the past so that I can be funded, remembering here and now through the help of others, and hopefully I have some vision for the future that I can hope and remember and trust God, that I can claim a homecoming, that ultimately I can be at home, and I'll know that experience and that reality, even during the times of absence. So this morning, again, I'm not sure which season you're in. You may be in a very up season, and you're listening to me, and you're saying, well, this is kind of a downer. Man, let's get back to some singing some songs. If that's the case, that's all right. That's all right. We are where we are. Great if we're feeling consolation. On the other hand, we could be feeling pretty absent, feeling God is absent. I met with Peter Brown yesterday. Peter, as you know, if you're visiting, he has cancer. And then also on top of that, his wife took her life. And so you have all of these emotions. And it's interesting that Peter, for quite a while, has been feeling a time of consolation. God, I'm really experiencing your presence. Thank you. In the midst of all of this cancer. And then, boom, something else happens, which is a completely devastating act of surprise. So that's a big double whammy. But it's interesting, he is still feeling God's presence. The time of consolation is still there. in the midst of these big questions. Big question. And so whatever our reality is, winter, summer, spring, fall, we'll be looking at different psalms that speak to them all, but we begin with this winter one. We wonder, God, where are you? Maybe he's wondering where we are. And we're invited to know him and experience him. So may we hold on. Hold on in whatever way you can. Whatever way of remembering is needed for you right now, that's what we need to do. Because Christ ultimately will make all things well. All things well. And Jesus is there for us in the here and now, whether it's times of consolation or desolation. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask the praise team to come and we'll sing a couple of songs of response. And the first one is, "Nothing I Hold On To." It's whatever experiences I am, you're there for me.